I'm Susan Montanaro, and you're listening to Dreams and Detours, a show about the life we plan to have versus the one we're living, for better or not. Everybody has a story, and I believe we find ourselves in each other's stories.
Hi, it's Susan Montanaro. I recently attended a podcast conference called Podapalooza. It was this all-day event that was so amazing, and I got the chance to meet and record episodes with so many super guests. Today, you'll hear my conversation with Heather Abbott, a former accountant and financial advisor. She is now a fairyologist, speaker, and coach, helping heart-centered entrepreneurs take their place amongst the wealthy. Heather shares her financial wisdom and how all of the tumultuous change in the world is really about growth, an essential part of existence. We had a small technology snafu at around 17 minutes in, but we got the chance to pick back up and finish our conversation so that we could provide nuggets and tools to help anyone at any age and stage in their financial journey. Please welcome Heather Abbott.
Welcome, Heather Abbott, to Dreams and Detours. It's good to meet you today.
Good to meet you too.
So I'm happy that we were matched today for Podapalooza, because I think this has been a really exciting all-day podcast kind of conference where we get to meet different people. So I want to shift over to talking about you and how you have put together, and I'm just going to read this because I had the beauty of being able to see just a little bit of your bio. And what drew me to want to meet you today was you have hidden key to true prosperity, and you help heart-centered entrepreneurs really level up. And so often on this show, I will have both, you know, solopreneurs that will come on or listeners who are either looking to make that big pivot that they have been thinking of in their minds. And so I feel like I have, you know, budding entrepreneurs who are about to take the leap. And so I'm always looking for ways to help fortify them in feeling brave, feeling courageous, knowing they're entitled and that it's their time to shine. Knowing that it's never going to be the perfect time, and that setting yourself up as good as possible is brilliant, but sometimes life will happen and you're not ready. And you just sort of have to be prepared to still plow forward and do what you can do, right? To get things going.
Always.
I know that in your background, you know, you have a lot of financial expertise, and that is an area that you focus on. So I would love if you could share for the listeners just some of the work that you're doing that helps with leveling up, but also like maybe giving them like nuggets of wisdom, right? And so sort of
I'd love to.
Oh my gosh. That's why I was like, we have to talk to Heather today. This is going to be brilliant. So tell me a little bit more about the work that you do, like kind of your origin a little bit, and then how it morphed into the way in which you now focus and coach on with entrepreneurs.
Well, I will say that it's my destiny. I know this is my mission to help people with finances. And I know this, like, astrologically, it's in my chart, clear as a bell. Numerology, it's in my chart. Human design. And I've had psychics and mediums and channel, all kinds of people tell me this is what I have to do. So it's kind of funny that I didn't become an accountant because of some burning desire. I became an accountant because in high school, I took it for 2 years, accounting, because it was super easy. So when March of my graduating year rolled around, I was like, I guess I'll be an accountant. I couldn't think of anything else.
You know, and someone once told me being an accountant was smart because you'll always have work.
Yeah, well, I could. Yeah, right. I don't do it anymore, but I could.
Right.
And then I became a financial advisor, not because I wanted to be a financial advisor and learn all this stuff. It was because I knew Investors Group flew you places for trainings. And I wanted that.
Brilliant.
So my motivations for learning it weren't that I had a passion for it, but it was something that I needed to learn to fulfill my purpose in life, which is to help people with their finances. But I also have this whole magical side to me, as you may have guessed from all the things that I referenced when I started. So I bring all of that, and I've worked on the mindset. I've gone through the trenches. I've built a business. I've been an entrepreneur. I've gone through so many different things. And I bring all of that to my
That's daughter. Great. So you were, was did you feel, was it that you had an attraction and a draw to all the mystical, magical elements that you then pursued and dove into separate? Or did you find that you were doing this work that you just felt destined to do without full understanding? So you were searching for answers. Like
it's a combination. I'm one of those people that never wants to stop learning. I have to slap my fingers and say no.
Right.
I've wanted to learn everything, and I was in an abusive relationship, mentally abusive, denied it the whole time, but I wanted things to get better. So I struggled financially. I was a broke accountant hiding it, but he just made these big holes, craters of debt, and I'd be trying to fill them in and I just couldn't keep up. So through my own journey, I discovered it. It started with someone telling me back years ago, I should read The Secret. And what I did is I borrowed the book from the library, not The Secret, but the one that she had actually read before she wrote The Secret. And then I read The Secret. And then I was like, this isn't it. There's more to this. So I started looking up every author in that book. And I eventually found Hay House, Hay House Radio.
Yeah.
And from there, I mean, it's radio for your soul. And I did a course that Doreen Virtue had in 2016. I became a certified fairyologist. And from that, I discovered, well, heck, I am a fairy. So I am definitely not your typical accountant.
No, you're not. But I think for the listeners, you know what I think is so important for people listening who think, whoa, this is too woo-woo for me. Really, when you think about it, first of all, you have no idea sometimes the other side of the professionals that you engage in. And what you'd be surprised in this moment right now, learning about Heather, as well as some of those others, is that there are other things that ignite them, light them up, and make them the special, brilliant, and talented folks that you're actually engaging with. Just because you're unaware of it, or you're unaware of the motivation or the origins, doesn't make it that's strange. And so I like to normalize mystical aspects of people because I think the general population, because they don't understand it, they sort of dismiss it. And I always say, stay curious. Don't dismiss it. There's so much more to it. And people self-discover and allow their gifts and their beauty to rise up and out of them in a whole host of ways. It doesn't have to be a traditional path or what society deems as normal and traditional. So I think the flavor of what you've been doing and digging into is awesome. And we need to accelerate it.
Well, there's two things I'll tell you about that. And one is I can start giving them some tips, actually.
Terrific.
But the first one is, as far as astrology goes, if people are thinking, oh, it's just hokum, well, you're reading those forecasts, the predictions in the local paper. Don't do that.
Right. Like it might be planets, that's what you're finding. Exactly.
The planets have an impact on us. And where I live, we have the highest tides in the world. Average tide is 38 feet. We're talking
in Nova Scotia.
Two-story building. Yes. Mm-hmm. So if that's the effect of the moon, can you really tell me that there's no effect from the planets? Like with a straight face? I don't think so. Right. The second thing is, it has taken me in my entire life to get to the point where I am able to say what I just said in public to people I do not know. That is new this year.
Congratulations.
And it's part of one of the things I teach, because I teach about the three keys for true prosperity, which are freedom, fun, and finances. And under that freedom one, there's three main points. One is health, because if you don't have your health, it will hold you back. One is freedom from oppression, which I dealt with the relationship. And the other one is freedom of expression. I have always been 100% authentic. What you see is what you get, but you did not get all of me, because I am very good at figuring out who I'm talking to and who can handle what I'm going to say.
And holding yourself back. And now you know it's unnecessary to do that.
I also know that I cannot fulfill my mission without putting it out there. It's like turning on the lighthouse beacon and it will draw them to me. And the people who don't resonate with it aren't people who would want to work with me anyway.
And it's okay. Because we're not for everyone. And that is always okay. We won't be able to serve a person who's not open to whatever we are, our gifts are. And that is why not judging others and just finding who you're supposed to be with is what we're supposed to be doing, you know, and just letting everybody find their own. And that's where, of course, I imagine a bit of that expression and that acceptance comes into the whole story.
It does. It does. Because you hear a lot when you're starting a business or any of any type, the first thing you need to do is pick a niche. And people are like, oh, no, I can serve everybody. And I was like that. But you can't, because you need to make people say, oh, that's me. Because if you're just speaking in general, everybody's like, oh, well, they're speaking to that other person, not me. They will never put their hand up. You speak to everyone, you speak to no one. So being authentically you is one of the keys. The freedom part is essential to getting ahead in business of any type.
I love it. Talk to me about the fun part.
Oh, the fun part, I started out calling it joy. I just went with fun because it rhymed. It had the alliteration, right?
Yeah.
It was there. So the fun is what you would think. It's the family and friends, because they bring you joy, right? It's playfulness. What brings you joy? Take the time, sit down for an hour and write out all the things you can think of that you ever enjoyed doing. Like, go back, because there's things you've forgotten about that you would love. And you'd be like, I haven't done that in years.
Right.
But you have to do it for an hour, because the first 10, 15 minutes, you just spurt out what's top of mind. And it's when you sit there for longer that you start to unpack those boxes of memories in your mind and really dig in. And the third part is gratitude, being grateful for what you have and feeling it, feeling happiness for what you have is how you unlock everything. It's how you unlock your health. It's how you unlock your finances. It's gratitude is such a high vibration energy.
Oh, so humbling. It's so humbling. It really is. And it's so important to do. I agree with you. I'm grateful for pretty much everything. I can make a really good sandwich one day and I'm like, you know what? I'm super grateful for that. I mean, I'll let it be as small as it needs to be just so that I remain conscious and focused and aware. Absolutely.
Coming from where I came from, I really should not have any day go by where I am not grateful and happy, because
that's great.
I tell you, things are pretty shitty sometimes.
Oh yeah. No, I get it. I hear you and I feel you, and I've been there and I've done that work myself. And I often will talk to people on this show who have had and suffered in many ways and have had way too many crappy days, but now have found themselves and have discovered and allowed themselves to emerge. So I love this conversation, because there is nothing better than knowing that another person had just enough belief in themselves and bravery to say, no, I'm going to shine. Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm scared to death, but I'm going to shine. Yeah, it's okay. And I'm going to do it. And even if they were holding their breath when they took that first step, they were willing to. You are modeling beauty, greatness, and courage for those who are still afraid and who need someone to show them that it's okay. And that's what we all are for everyone out there who's with trepidation or absolutely frightened. We're letting them know that it's okay. It's okay to feel the way you're feeling, and it's okay to take the step again toward yourself. Do it. It's all good.
Definitely. And as far as gratitude goes, there was a woman that I spoke with before, and she said she defines like pretty well everything that ever happens in her life is only a one on the problem scale. On a scale of 1 to 10, how big of a problem is it? It's likely never going to get past a one, because to her, like, number one is she was in a car accident. Everybody she knows is dead, or like, it was like horrific. And then the second one was like, everyone in the family died except me, and I'm quadriplegic and missing an eye. And like
the most extreme. Yeah.
And to her, it was her way of bringing it in and saying, okay, well, if it's none of those things, it's only one. This is nothing
right.
to get upset about.
Right. She was measuring and finding the true barometer of whether to get excited or just anxious or what have you. And that's really smart.
A lot of people lose perspective.
Yeah.
They get bound up in the tiniest things and they let it ruin their day and ruin their lives. You have to set your intention when you start your day, before you get out of bed. Take the time to take a breath, smile, and realize where you are and how good things actually are.
Yeah.
Before you get up.
And tell yourself, this is going to be a great day.
Yes.
I do that. I'm like, this is going to be a great day. I didn't do that all the time. I would wake up with like a lot of like, oh my God, like before I could be fully awake, I would have all of these like horrible, negative, you know, oh shit thoughts going through my head. And it was miserable. I was like, how do I turn that off? I'm not even awake yet, but it does work. You have to work at it. It does work. And now when I wake up, I'm like, ooh, it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day.
What surprise is in store for me today?
Yes.
What's the fantastic thing that I'm going, you have to watch for it. But yeah. If you challenge it to be brought to you, it will come.
Isn't that super? Oh, I love that. Fantastic. So obviously the finance part is teaching people how to respect themselves, I'd imagine, because you have a deep financial background, whether you were utilizing it yourself in some times of your life or not, the knowledge is there, the expertise is there. And so you're able to then guide people into making smarter decisions. Is that what that looks like, that last component?
I don't remember the three that I usually have written down for that, but I would say
it's okay.
Your debt management, mm-hmm. your money mindset is huge. Actually, knowing where you stand financially, clarity with that. That's something I have a giveaway for, like on my website. Anybody can get it. It's the 3 steps to money clarity or financial clarity or mastery. And what it does is it gives you a way that you've never been taught. I would say about 10% of people know what they can and cannot afford. From my experience as an accountant, financial advisor, it's not taught even to accountants, and it's not taught when you become a certified financial planner. I've done the courses, didn't write the exam, but I did the courses, and it's not taught. And it can be so simple. And the booklet that I give away on my website actually is a system that you can use. I made it as a freebie so that everybody could have it. There's higher levels of it that, of course, that are paid, but that's the one that I give away.
I love that. And you know what? Thank you for that. Thank you for providing a free tool to people who are in a financial crisis and probably feel great trepidation to spend more money on a solve when maybe just getting started with some free wisdom is their ticket to the freedom that they need. I mean, I think people are doing it more, but I still think not enough people are doing it. So I love that.
I find a lot of people are what I call number avoidant.
Yes.
They don't want to look. I've heard that far too many times. It's like, no, I don't want to look. It's like, dude, I tried that in high school with my homework. It doesn't work.
You great example.
Pass it in.
That's right. All right, Heather. So we had a small technicality, but we seem to have been able to finish our thought. But I really want to continue our conversation around not being number and financially avoidant of our situation and our scenario. We both agree that so many people, you know, might have a great pension or have a great nest egg and they made all the right choices, but there's still, I believe, more people who've not made those right decisions because they didn't know, because they weren't educated, because they weren't informed. And, you know, people are just getting by. And whether it's because they didn't have enough or believe they had enough to put aside, or they simply weren't savvy enough to make those decisions early on. So I want to bring the listeners nuggets of wisdom. That's what I really believe is the most valuable thing we can give them so that they can get started. It's kind of like that whole teach a man to fish instead of giving him fish scenario. It's like, let's empower people to have more information to make great decisions. And I believe, because I know so many people in this situation, because I've been in this situation, what do we impart to people at 40? What do we impart to people at 50? And what do we impart to people that are even over that 55, 56 who do not have a future of finance set up for themselves and do not, and are reliant on Social Security, which we know is such a risky proposition? That's what I would love to hear. If you have some wisdom there, please.
Well, first, to anybody in that situation, I would like them to know that they are not alone. It's not unusual. actually in 2013, I think the statistics in Canada were 64% of people retire in debt. And where I live in the Maritimes, it was over 80% of people were retiring in debt.
Wow.
So, and in my practice, I would say less than, well, around 10% of people know how to manage their money and understand truly what they can and can't afford. So don't feel like you're alone in this. That being said, Social Security, old age pension, when those came out, the average person, just guess how long you usually lived after you started receiving that.
I would imagine like there's possibly looking at 25 to 30 years. I guess, am I totally wrong? Wait, lived
months.
Wait. Lived.
They started collecting.
Once they started to collect, they died within 8 months.
Yes, the average, the age that people died at when it came out. 65.
So I see what you mean. Not so now. The system was built for people to not have a lot of time in front of them when they first introduced it. I thought you were talking about like the now.
No.
Because is devastatingly long.
Yes. Yeah. And that's why you can't really fully rely on it. But all is not lost. What I tell people is your energy creates the wealth, right? So some people put their energy toward building up money in the bank. They think a lot about future them. Some people focus on current them, and future them is left to manage for themselves. So you can also put your energy into learning. You can put it into just living your life. And you're like, well, how's that going to help me in retirement? Well, you now have skills. You were a housewife, you raised children. Were you good at it? Did you do a good job? Did you learn anything? Because you have that been there, done it, right? And there are a lot of people who have never been there, have never done it. And they're coming at it, as we all know, with no instruction manual.
Exactly.
Which is terrible. But you have part of the instruction manual. And this is the time of monetizing your knowledge, teaching what you know, getting paid to share. That's one thing you can do. If you have hobbies that you're good at, a friend of mine, her son, he's fantastic with guitar, banjo, and he loves doing it. It's just what he took when he, like, just she paid for him to have lessons as he grew up, and he's just very talented at it. He took a course to become a welder and moved out west in Canada, as a lot of people did, to make money. But he soon quit after just a few months because he could teach guitar lessons, which he enjoyed, which doesn't feel like work to him, and make the same money he was making welding. So this is applicable to all sorts of people. Like, I know my mom, she makes quilts and she gardens. Well, if you garden, you have extra plants. You can sell them. If you love quilting, well, there's only so many quilts your family needs. Those sell for a pretty penny. So when people are worrying about retirement, I like to remind them that retirement is an old word. I really would prefer people to give it up and not use it anymore, because it's not really applicable anymore. What we're doing is we're moving from a job, perhaps doing something we didn't like, into a life where we have time freedom. We have a pension that hopefully we'll pay basic bills. And then on top of that, we can do what we want with our time. And there's nothing saying that we can't earn money with it.
Right. And for those who don't necessarily have a pension, are there directions that they should aim toward, or a certain amount that they should save now? Like if they're still in that job, whether it's a career they have enjoyed or not, is there time left to kind of...
There's always time.
Okay,
you can't
good.
Get it wrong. You never get it done.
Yeah. Just get started.
Take a breath and get started. You can't start too early either to plan for your future.
Right.
But as they say, you know, what is it? God laughs, people plan. I can't remember.
Yeah. The best laid plans
something
about you make plans and God laughs or something. Yeah.
Yeah. You can make the best laid plans, but things happen.
Right.
So, I mean, when I was working as a financial advisor, I would always talk to them about having insurance, right? Because if you looked at your wealth as being money piled on a table, and you had your short-term money in one corner and your medium-term goals in another corner and your retirement in another corner. Well, the fourth leg of that table is the insurance, because if one of the legs falls off the table, what's going to happen to all the money? So you need the insurance that will be there to prop it up in case something goes wrong. And most people will insure their home. They'll insure their vehicle, but they don't insure themselves, like disability insurance or a critical illness insurance, something like that. And that, if you're young, especially, that's your biggest asset, your potential income. Add it up, what you can make in a year, and multiply that by how many years you think you're still going to live. And I bet your house is not worth that much.
Right.
If it is, you're kind of in trouble, because you're never going to have money, because right. Your house is going to be forever. Like everything you ever earned, pay it off.
Right. It's all in the home. Right.
Yeah. And I know 1 in 4 people who are in their 20s will become disabled in some manner before they reach 65. So insurance is another important part to play. I have a critical illness policy that has two, they're called riders. They're like little things you add to it. They make it cost more, but one is return of premium on death and the other is return of premium at expiry. So if I die before the policy reaches the end point, it gives me back all the money I paid in or to my estate. And if I don't die and I don't have a claim by the time the policy expires, I get all the money I paid back to me. So those are really good things. You should always have both. Mm-hmm. One is a lot cheaper than the other, because the chances of you dying before it finishes is a lot less than you getting to the end and not having made a claim. So I encourage them to think out of the box. That is the main thing. Start now. 10%. If you can put 10% of your money aside for future you, that would be amazing. 10% of all the things you have coming in, 10% can go to fun. 10% can go to learning and educating yourself for making more money, or just things that you enjoy. So you always have to divide your money up. And I do go over that in that booklet I mentioned to you. It does take you through the means level calculation, so you can see how much you can afford. And if you make sure that 10% that you're not supposed to touch, that's for future you, that's for passive income. It's passive income is something you don't have to tie your time to. Mm-hmm. It earns you money without any future effort. It could be like writing a book or creating a course that sells itself, that you just have for sale on some site somewhere, and you look at your phone, it's like, oh, I made money. That's passive income. But it also works for investments. Investments can give you passive income. So that's what it's for.
That's brilliant. And it's really helpful. And I appreciate that, because I really feel like you mentioned, with the large amount of the population that is in that predicament, this is going to be really essential information for them to latch onto, because I think now more than ever in our world, things are feeling like a little unsteady, and things are feeling, you know, just like everyone needs to be a bit more cautious, and certainly making wiser choices and decisions as it relates to their finances.
The world's going through a big period of growth.
Yeah.
It's a huge shift. It's meant to be that we grow. That's the whole purpose, right? Is to grow, to create new things and have things happen in a new way. And that's what we're reaching for. One of the best things that has come out of these last 2 years is a lot of people being allowed to work from home who weren't allowed before. And they would ask and they would ask and they would ask, and the company said, oh no, that's not possible. Well, guess what? Now it's possible.
Right. It's brilliant. I agree with you. I think the silver lining in the last 2 years is, like, not only have people been able to really reorganize their lives, and I know for some people that was not advantageous, like being at home with children and multiple responsibilities going on, I don't doubt was so difficult. But at the same time, I think that people not only found that the employers could now realize that it was never a function of trust or being a you know, a guard, a gatekeeper to their operational, you know, portion. But I think people also discovered who they are. People really realized that they could tend to multiple things and they could take care of themselves perhaps, or nurture their lives in a way that they were not able to. I think people really realized the commute time alone was probably killing them. And so
You know, unless you're listening to like some, something educational or uplifting, so that you're making use of that drive time.
Yeah.
I can't imagine, giving up 2 hours of your life every day just to, and see, that's it. It's uncluttered some of the highways. So the people who do still have to commute, it won't take them as long.
Right.
And it's cutting down on the fuel emissions and all these wonderful things that are happening from it. And yes, there was a lot of horrible stuff that happened, but I believe that all the big tragedies in the world, when we come in, and this is my belief, nobody else has to share it, I believe we pick these big challenges before we come, because we know on a soul level, spirit level, that it's going to do so much to improve the world.
On the backside, that's right. More has come out, and sad, you're right, sad to say, but after very large, massive global events, more has come out on the backside in terms of innovation or growth or opportunity. And so sadly, we'll see maybe more of that a little, you know, in the years to come, but I agree, there'll be a tremendous amount on the backside of that. So thank you for sharing.
And I mean, I know some people lost people that mean the world to them, and marriages fell apart, and a lot of things went wrong for a lot of people. And there were women who were in abusive relationships who were trapped, and there was some really horrendous things, but from horrendous things comes growth.
Yeah.
I believe that. I have to believe that is one of those things that, you know, keeps you going.
I agree. Well, thank you so much. I'm so happy we got a chance to meet and to do this and to talk more. I think the work that you're doing and the place where that you've arrived at in your own life is just, I feel you. It feels wonderful to be in your company. So thank you for sharing all of your wisdom and yourself on Dreams and Detours. Thank you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. And I have been told by people that that is my innate superpowers. I make people feel good.
Yeah. Well, we need more of that. So, hey, this has been great. That's it for this episode of Dreams and Detours. If you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe and share it with your friends. You can find me at dreamsdetours.com and at dreamsdetours on Instagram. Thanks for listening.